Time now for your letters. Many of you were moved by Kathy Witkowski's profile of Andrew Bedard, a Marine killed in Iraq. Carol McCabe wrote that none of the tributes I have heard has touched me more than this morning's appreciation of the promising young Andrew Bedard, revealing him as so much more than the U.S. Marine he briefly was. The comments of his friends, his impressive teacher, and his articulate parents combined to override all the usual cliches. And Mahesh Kaneria of Danville, Pennsylvania added, "Your story this morning about Private Andrew Bedard of Montana woke me up sobbing. I felt I knew this young man, responsible, helpful, and much admired by his friends and family personally. My heart goes out to his parents. God bless his soul." Greg Allen's piece on the Kansas School Board and the issue of evolution in the classroom brought in a lot of comments. "I was saddened as I drove to work this morning to hear that Kansas is trying to replace its science classes with philosophy classes," writes Elizabeth Heamy of Grants Pass, Oregon. "Science is about proving your hypothesis and not about political or religious education. Without science, the world would still be flat and the sun would go around the earth." However, Scott Zeilsdorf of Overland Park, Kansas, notes that it was once Galileo who got in trouble for challenging the intellectuals of the day. Now, he writes, those who would dare question an orthodox scientific dogma are still getting in trouble with the intellectuals of the day, but the role of the church is reversed. In the musical arena, our interview with Michael Siegel about the history of the saxophone prompted Henry Wolstadt of Brookline, Massachusetts, to write, "At age 10, I wanted to take sax lessons from a local music teacher, but my parents claimed they couldn't afford it. As I approached age 70 2 years ago, I started taking once weekly sax lessons without any previous musical training. I'm now having a devilishly good time playing and learning." Finally, our piece on the songs Mice Sing to Attract One Another attracted another listener to our program. "I was just sitting on the couch with our half-grown cat, apparently asleep beside me," writes Bill Criticos of Linden, Kansas. "When the mouse love song was played, the sleeping cat became instantly alert, jumped from the couch, and moved toward the speakers. He seemed to be indicating by his actions that this was a big treat just waiting to be eaten." If you or any of your pets would like to write to us, go to our website at npr.org and click on the Contact Us link. And please remember to tell us where you live and how to pronounce your name.